Hello. It's been a while since I had to sit in my living room and speak to myself and think about all the people that were gonna eventually have to listen to my stupid ramblings. It's good to be back with Mood Swings. It's gonna be episode 63, and it's the third stint that I've done. I don't like to take breaks, but quite frankly, I ran out of episodes, and at the time of the last one going out, my schedule was pretty much rammed, so it didn't look like I was going to be able to record consistently, and I didn't want to be putting them out one and then waiting a month and putting out another one. And then so I just decided, you know what, have a break, record a bunch of episodes and come back strong. And that's kind of what hopefully I've done. Unfortunately, sorry if this is your first time listener, by the way, and you're just a fan of Paul. I'm all over the place. If you're just a fan of the guest on this week's podcast and don't want to hear about all this old stuff, feel free to skip forward. But yeah, I did promise and plan to put a load of additional content, YouTube videos and blogs and stuff, whilst the podcast was offline. It didn't happen in the end. I was so busy with work and just with, I got into quite a good routine of just work and gym, really. And that worked for me during quite a stressful period with my job. And yeah, it just, at that point, there wasn't really room to factor in anything else. Although I was thinking about the podcast all the time and who I could get on and when I could get back to doing it. At the time, it just wasn't feasible to get those episodes recorded or to be writing additional blogs or thinking about YouTube content, because all that stuff takes time. And yeah, hopefully that stuff I'll be able to put out in the future. But just apologies to anyone who voted on any of the polls when I put out asking what people wanted, and everyone was giving me their feedback, and I wholeheartedly expected to be able to deliver that, but just it didn't come to pass. But hey ho, I'm not the first person, I don't think, to overestimated their capabilities. But anyway, that was just my wee excuses for not putting out the shit I said I put out. This week's guest is Paul McBain. If you are a regular listener to the podcast and don't know much about Paul, just a quick bit of background. He is an MMA fighter out of Aberdeen Fitness and Combat Centre. He is undefeated and he now fights on one of, if not the biggest promotion in European MMA, Cage Warriors. And this Saturday night he is fighting in the first round of a four-man tournament for the featherweight championship of the world. A little disclaimer: in the podcast and in the first Instagram post I put out before I was kindly corrected by Mr. Chris Nicol, I said that it was lightweight belt. And just to explain myself again, this is just an excuses intro. When we recorded this podcast on the Thursday, the Saturday night was the Conor McGregor Khabib fight, which of course was fought at lightweight. And a lot of the press that Paul was getting was talking about how he was fighting for the same belt that Conor McGregor once held. And I just got my wires, my knickers absolutely twisted. I just started thinking he was fighting for the lightweight belt. And during the podcast, I do say that to Paul, and he either mishears me, or the more likely option is he's too polite to have corrected me and told me, "You're fucking wrong, you've got this interview, ask me a bit about a belt I'm not even fighting for." So apologies, I just got my wires crossed with all the Conor media and press at that time that was going on, and with all the stuff with Paul, I just had lightweight in my head. And that's why I said it, because I'm a podcasting lightweight. It's maybe what it was. Oi, that was shite. I don't think there's much else to tell you. As I've said, this is hopefully going to be back for a long stint now, so if there's anyone you want me to speak to or anyone you want to suggest, please get in touch. If this is your first time listening and you want to keep up with the podcast because you enjoy it, at 365 Aberdeen on Twitter, Mood Swings Abs on, so that's Mood Swings ABZ on Instagram, which is where the bulk of the stuff goes, and on Facebook it's the 365 Aberdeen page, because I can't get the name changed to Mood Swings for whatever reason. Yeah, and also if this is your first time listening and you really enjoy this and it's because of your interest in combat sports, just to suggest a few other podcasts that you could listen to that I've recorded. We've had on in the past Matty Mallon, who is Paul's teammate at the Combat Centre who trains there. He was one of the first ones I had on. I've had on Rich Cadden, a Muay Thai fighter, or an ex-Muay Thai fighter now. William Harrison, 8-time world Muay Thai champion. I feel like I've had more. Ross Houston, of course, who comes up in this podcast, and he's also fighting this weekend. And this is for the welterweight Cage Warriors belts. He's fighting on the same show as Paul. So good luck to him as well. Not too much else to say. Good luck to Paul and good luck to Ross on the weekend. And I hope you enjoy this podcast. And I'll be back at the end to speak a bit more shite and make some more excuses. Cheers.
Strikes,
yeah. How'd it go?
Good,
yeah.
Good, tough.
How long you been back from offshore then?
Monday.
Aye.
Got back Monday, like, so. I was been grafting, like.
Yeah. How's it when you're offshore? Can you train when you're out?
I was hitting pads and that. I was a guy, Dane Dixon from Dundee. I was training with him, like, okay. So he came out for a few days, but something happened at home, so he had to go, so. Normally I can land myself lucky where there's another couple of guys who train boxing, yeah, hit pads or something, but most of the time I was just hitting the bag and running, like, it's all I could do.
Yeah.
What can you do?
I know.
You've got to do it.
How many weeks are you out now till?
2 weeks Saturday, I think. I'm not too sure, like, I think. I don't know.
Better tell you not to about yourself.
I know, I'll be alright, yeah.
So anyway, I should probably introduce you before we go any further. I'm here with Paul McBain. It's an MMA fighter who trains at Albion Combat Centre, yep, which is, of course, where we are. And in 2.5 weeks, you're fighting, is it Aidan Lee?
Aidan Lee, yeah.
The first round of the Cage Warriors four-man lightweight
Grand
belt.
Prix,
How are you feeling about it all?
Ah, good, like, doesn't faze me.
No.
Get more nervous in a Wednesday night sparring than I do fighting.
Really?
Yeah, I do, because I know that I'm prepared when I fight, so I've got nothing. When I'm half the time when I'm sparring, I'm underprepared, and I'm you get a tough night. It's, I think the hardest part is in the gym, eh?
Yeah.
You know, for your sparring, because I always look at it as like, I think fighting's easy. People forget when you're fighting, it's, that's only one fight. You know,
yeah.
When you train up to it, I train all year round, I spar every Wednesday. One fight is nothing, that's only, what, 3 rounds? I'd do 8 rounds every Wednesday. If you're punching the head that much, I'm more nervous about sparring on a Wednesday than I do on a Saturday on a fight night. It doesn't faze me at all, not one bit. I actually, before my last fight, I said to one of my coaches, Owen, I said to him, I'm like, I'm getting nervous that I'm not nervous. I'm like, surely I could feel something. Just like I'm talking to you now. It's like, and people say you need nerves, and I'm like, fuck. Why do I need nerves? I'm like, I'm sound.
Well, some folks say you need nerves, and then some people say as well, you just need to be calm. But I think it's just feeling good in yourself.
Like, I agree. And having that confidence in your own abilities and being prepared, I think being prepared and mentally prepared is a big aspect of it.
Yeah. Is that a big step up going on a show like Cage Warriors? Obviously you've done it 3 times now, is it?
Yeah, it was at first. I think it was more the build up rather than the fight. The fight's a fight. Doesn't matter where you fight. I fought in churches, and I fought in, you know, arenas, and the fight's a fight. It doesn't take it away. Once you're in there, doesn't matter where you are, it's a fight. So, yeah, to answer your question, I don't think it matters, like.
What changed in the prep, like, in the run-up to doing Cage Warriors? Like,
I think just more the build-up are going on and having all eyes on you. I think more, because there's cameras and it's live, you know, the only thing, the same that what I just spoke about, nervous, I don't get nervous all I get is, I get a little tiny bit of nervous, and it's only, it's about underperforming. It's nothing about my own ability.
Yeah.
It's about, say I don't perform, and that's it. I'm not scared. I'm not nervous, but I'm just a bit weary at underperforming.
Yeah.
Like, say I don't perform. If I perform, then I know that W's mine, hands down, because there's nobody standing in front of me when I'm loose and when I'm performing, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
What do you do yourself, just like in the build-up in camp and then also on the day of the fight, like to prepare yourself mentally for the...
Mentally? Fuck. I'd have an Andalus, like. Just eat? Nah, honestly, it's just like any other day. Oh, fucking, the good thing is about fighting on these shows is you get travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Liverpool or London, where I've been before. You know, now I'm going away to Birmingham. I get to see these places. I'm a fucking... I'm a tourist then, I don't care. I'm like, get there and I'm like, make sure I make weight, right, let's go for a fucking a tour around,
yeah.
see the views and shit, and see the place.
Have you ever fought in Aberdeen? I don't know.
I fought maybe 4 or 5 times. I fought a couple of amateur fights. I fought my first pro fight in Aberdeen,
okay.
Like Rise of the Spartans.
I
beat some French guy there, like, so. That was my first one, so it'd be good to... Good to come back.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think I'd fucking sell a power of tickets. Like, I think a lot of people would come see me.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I'd enjoy it as well. You know, getting people to just drive down to fucking wherever in Aberdeen rather than booking flights to fucking London or booking flights to Birmingham or Liverpool and shit.
I'm gonna have to ask you about that. I can't keep a straight face while you mentioned flights. Hey, what happened in that interview after your last win?
Oh, I was just fucking raging. I normally sell a power of tickets, right? And it's not because, you know, you make a cut on a ticket. It's not money. I don't fight for money. But
yeah.
It's I like these people come support me. They support me anywhere. Like, and I feel pretty pissed off that most of the guys had to pay fucking... They had to pay a fortune for flights, huh? And just to come down to fucking London, I'm like... I was raging, just because they obviously leave it a lot later, but sometimes like £400 or £500 for a flight to London, it's fucking an hour away. You know, you book it fucking about a 4 month before, you'll get it for like £50, if that. So that's why I was raging. So just for I'd like a lot more people would have came to see me if the flights wasn't so expensive.
Yeah,
it's just the joys of fighting elsewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. How do you? What would you prefer? Do you prefer like fighting away from home and getting that day like?
Oh,
yeah.
Make up the away. It's a holiday, like.
Yeah.
That's where I look at it. Like, as I say, the fight's fuck all. Like, I'm somebody's paying for me to go away on holiday like for a few days.
Yeah.
It's like Owen was like, I'm like, you coming down on the Thursday night? He's like, I am looking forward to my holidays. I'm like, yes, Ken. Got to make the most of it.
Is that for your fight coming up, or is that
for... No, it was for my last one, but yeah, I think he's coming down.
Yeah.
We have the usual faces down there, but a lot more people's coming to this one.
Yeah.
It's a lot closer to home. Birmingham, I think it's maybe, 5 hours, something like that?
I think slightly more.
Slightly more, but
yeah.
It's not as bad as London, where you're fucking, what are you, like 12 hours, something stupid,
yeah.
It's double.
I mean, that once was, I used to go on tour with my pal's band and do sound for him. And one time, I was totally annoyed to fight him, but you'll get a fucking laugh out of it. We were meant to be leaving like fucking first thing, 7 in the morning, driving in the van, get there for like early evening.
Yeah.
Fucking van broke in Dundee. So then they're like, we're looking for another van company to like hire another van for.
Yeah.
The company was in Aberdeen, so they have to drive back to Aberdeen, pick up another van. So by the time we left Dundee, it was like 3 in the afternoon. Got a fucking London at 1 in the morning.
What?
Had to carry a boy out of the van. He was fucking drank a bottle of whiskey on the way between Dundee and Aberdeen.
It's
absolutely
going, like. Get it pissed in the back of the car or something, like after a bottle of whiskey.
He was literally he was the drummer, he fell asleep like on top of his drums, man, like just in the back of the van. It was
quality,
unreal.
Good times, huh?
So who's in your corner for
I think I've definitely got two just now. I'm not sure in the third one, but a little Chris Nicol, obviously he's there, yeah. He helps coach alongside me here. Coach all the boys, we call him the hard drive, like he's just full of fucking useless information. But he's full of a lot of fucking good information. Like he's one of, I've been trained by black belts all over the world, fucking trained MMA, and his detail is just fucking unbelievable. Coaching is just ridiculous. And not just his coaching, he can actually do it, you know. He's,
I've experienced that.
A lot of people he's fucking good at. A lot of people have just one or the other.
Yeah.
They'll be a good coach or they'll be a good fighter. You can't be both, what they say, but he's fucking ridiculous. Like his detail in everything is just second to none, like, so, but he's still a little prick. and then I'll have Owen, obviously. Owen was with me, he worked a lot for me with me in my last fight.
So, yeah.
Fucking big changes since working with him. Like, it's,
yeah.
I think my Thai boxing and striking's came along a long way since then. Like,
yeah, it was interesting. I watched your last fight in my flat. I had one of the boys around from the gym.
Yeah.
We all watched it there.
Yeah.
And like when we were watching it, as the fight was going on, Lewis, who obviously trains a lot with Owen as well, just like specific strikes you were throwing in combos, he was like, Owen will have to, like, trained him on that. It's like, Owen will have implemented that for him to do that.
Yeah, just
because like he does it himself, Owen. It was cool, like, just like getting a little bit of insight from Lewis and stuff.
I know, that's cool. I do pass on a lot of info to him as well. Like,
yeah.
He's fucking good as well. He's become a beast in no time at all. You know, still you get fucking tougher rounds off of him than you do most guys that have trained for fucking years. And how long's he been training? Like
a year and a half.
Fucking ridiculous.
Like, yeah.
Some talent.
Did you make a conscious decision before your last fight to like implement the Thai boxing and the striking?
Not so much. I think my striking's always been good, but it's just needing detailed. As an amateur, I used to struggle with staying on my feet a lot,
okay.
And I focused at, because I'm so fucking lanky and long that way. A lot of guys used to see my legs. I think one of my old coaches used to call me like a golf bag. He used to fucking, because it just like knocked me over, kind of just fall over. So I worked a lot on my takedown defense for a long time, and then I pick, you know, you go through phases of different martial arts for your MMA, but I went, that was one of my phases at the time, and then I moved on to the Thai boxing, get my striking up there for fighting pro, because I think a lot of fighting pros, it's not even so much about being the most technical that you can be, it's about being technical and being and having that heart.
Yeah.
You know, so if you've got fucking both, then fucking
sorted.
You're sorted, like.
Yeah. What was your first thing you started training? Did you just go straight?
I just went straight, and I never trained nothing. I played football as a kid, and fucking about 16, 17 year old, like any other male, you find out a bottle of cider.
Yeah.
So that's football out the window. So a couple of years went by, and I was like, I needed something to do.
Yeah.
Because I was always active as a kid, so then it became, I need something to do then. Started doing MMA at the warehouse, and I think I fought like maybe about 8 months after. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, like hands down, didn't have a clue. The technique was there, but I didn't have the knowledge of the sport. I think I remember I had the guy up against the fence, and I was like holding the top of the cage. And I remember the ref saying, look, you can't do that. And I'm like, I didn't know that. I don't even know the rules. Eh? And that fight actually won by like a fucking weird submission that I've never done before in my life.
Just grab something.
And I remember the coach at the time was like, his neck. And I was in like a fucked up position. I just grabbed his neck and got a tap. And that was the first one out of the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was about 8 months and then I fought that. So it was good.
What made you want to go into MMA? Were you a fan?
I wasn't even a fan. I'm not even a fan. I don't even like it, watching it. That's the truth.
Yeah, I've heard you say it before.
I fucking don't. I don't have the time to sit and, like, even my own fights. I don't even watch my own fights back, yeah? Don't do it.
No.
And my mate was in my fight, and his fight, and I'll be like, skip, skip, skip. Oh, that's good. I'm all done.
Just watch the finish.
Just watch the finish, yeah, or a couple of little clips. Can't be fucking arsed with them. Just like doing it.
So how did you to just one day just decide to fancy giving that a shot?
Oh, I just went for a bit of fitness and a bit of workout, and then
yeah,
here I am, fucking 10 years later, near enough.
Yeah.
Years like fucking, I don't know, squashed fucking collies. I don't know. So, yeah, it's all good.
I'm guessing you found a drive for it pretty quick though. You were fighting within 8 months.
It's not even I found a drive for it. I was good at it.
Okay.
I'm good at it. Like, you want to give me fucking some weird shit? Like, I'll beat you at it. Just give me 2-3 times at it, and I'll get good at it. It's not that I'm. I've got the drive for something. It's just that I pick up stuff really fast.
Okay.
You don't need to show me something. You show me it once, and I'll do it maybe 2-3 times, and I've just bang, just got it.
Yeah.
Just pick stuff up so easy. Especially in this game, there's millions of techniques, millions. You pick up something, you make it your own, and then you become better at it, and that's part of the game, isn't it?
Definitely. Is that what gives you, like, to self-feed into the confidence you've got before you go in the cage?
I don't know about confidence. I'm not a confident person, but I'm just, I don't know, it's hard to say it. I'm confident in my preparation,
yeah,
my abilities. So whatever goes on after that, it's meant to be. I'm not scared of losing that, one bit. I always say, I don't care. If I lose, it's on me, and that's where, like I spoke about not being able to perform.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So,
obviously, you've never lost as an amateur or pro anyway. Has it ever felt like, has there ever been a time when you fought and you've come out of there being like, you felt underprepared or like you underperformed?
One of my fights, I was working offshore, as you know, and I was in Russia, Siberia.
Wrestling bears?
I wish. Like, I've never done that. And I was in a cabin, like a caravan. I wouldn't even call it a caravan, it was just like a fucking tin shed. It had beds and a kettle in it. Toilet was 5 minutes down the road. It was -40.
Oh God.
I was over there for 3 weeks before a fight. I got home 2 days before the fight, and I was like, I'm gonna pull, and I'm like, no fucking way. I ended up fighting, and then I was actually sick in my own corner.
Really?
I was actually sick in the bucket in the corner because I was that fucked. Like.
Yeah.
I never went outside. Never done no fitness in that amount of time. Just dieted, and it wasn't even from having to diet, just because I was eating fucking pot noodles for 3 weeks solid.
I was
savage. But yeah, that, to answer your question, that was probably the most underprepared I've been for a fight. So it's good in a way. I won that fight.
Yeah. How did you win it? Was it?
I think it was ground and pound. Yeah, it was ground and pound. I got on top and just chipped away. Like, I think I spewed after that.
Did you spew after your last fight, after you downed that pint?
Nah, no way, like, fucking, I hung on my drink, like, nah, maybe after about 10, man.
Yeah.
Maybe after about 10. I had a tear-up at night as well, so.
I've been asked to ask you about your most recent tear-up. I don't know how much in depth you want to go to, but the legendary stag do in Ibiza.
Oh, no, nothing's getting said.
The only thing I'll ask you about is your word choice in the article in the Evening Express. I heard you said you were going out to relax in Ibiza.
the chilled weekend with the boys. Yeah. It was fucking solid. Now, the boy asked me, he was messaging me and back and forth, and I was like, look, I'm in Ibiza on my stag. And he's like, oh, right, okay, again. And he was like, he was asking me about, how do you feel about going out and partying and that? I party as much as the next guy. Like, I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't stop me from being prepared for a fight. I don't give a fuck. You're fighting me, you're not fighting my cardio.
Yeah.
My cardio is always on point. Never knock my cardio. Even if my cardio is shit, it's not my cardio. Then it's my heart that'll come in. I'll just push through that, and then I'll start spewing and shit. But I'm still going to keep going. But
Yeah. Reminds me of something Pete Scott said to me the other day in the gym. I was training with him and he said that my fitness was good, and I said, I don't know if it's my fitness or my stubbornness. He was like, they're the same fucking thing. That's just what you said.
Exactly the same thing. Even you gas out as much as you can, if there's somebody punching in the face, you've got to punch them back in the face.
Yeah,
so you'll just keep going until you, as I say, start spewing like I did in one of my fights.
We should make it to the corner though.
Well, but the good thing is, it's, as you was asking before about being underprepared, and I was underprepared then, and I know what it feels like and how bad it is being underprepared for a fight. So I know I don't ever want to do that again. Never, ever. So now I have to train hard and make sure that I am ready.
What was the harder part of being underprepared? Was it like the physical sort of gassing?
So tired that you can't even lift your arms, which is savage, and you've got a guy who's fitter and you try to punch your head. that's brutal.
Was it tough getting in there as well after like knowing you hadn't prepared properly? Did that make it a bit tougher to just get in there and get going?
Nah, not really. Just a fight's a fight.
Yeah.
As I say, I'm not scared of losing. I wasn't scared to lose that fight. I'm just going to fight. As I say, I don't even like fighting. I just like the sport. I like the competition.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, do you like the thought of going in against a fighter who's prepared the last 5, 10 years or whatever it's be to take your head off with a set of 4 ounce gloves?
That's not a lovely thought.
No, it's not a lovely thought. But it's a competition.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm good at this shit. I know I'm better than him. And I'm going to beat him to it. I'm going to beat him up before he beats me up. And that's where competition is. It's not about winning. I don't care about winning. It's about testing yourself.
Yeah.
It's not even about testing your ability. Yeah, it's about testing your ability. But testing yourself as a person as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
You know, pushing yourself. I put something on Instagram the other day. Did you read it?
What
was it again? I can't even fucking mind. It's about... you're only something about challenging yourself, and I thought it was pretty cool. Words of wisdom, man.
So is that what, like, do you think fundamentally that's what made you want to get into MMA?
Competition.
Yeah, that sort of competitive drive. Is that what?
Yeah, I just don't like losing.
Yeah.
Like you play me Monopoly or something, I'm fucking gonna beat you. Or golf, or as I say, I pick it up where I'm like, I'm gonna beat you. Always a winner.
Yeah. Were you athletic as like a kid in that way as well?
Yeah, as I said, I played football as a kid, all the way up. So I was constantly just outdoors. Not like nowadays where fucking kids are playing the computer all day or watching shit on YouTube. You know what like it is nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
So how is it nowadays? Like, obviously, talked about that fight where you were offshore right up until the fight came. Nowadays, you still often work offshore.
Yeah, but I'm in the North Sea. There's guys that train offshore.
Yeah.
Some of the guys say when I go offshore, I come back and I'm better. Better than I was before I went away. Why? I think you need to rest. I think you need to not even so much rest your body, but rest your mind.
Yeah.
I always tell guys it's not doing so great. I'm like, go and have a few days off. Rest your mind. I'm like, you're overthinking shit. It's just all basics. Every technique and everything you know is just all basics. But you just add to that basic.
Yeah.
And you make it your own. Now, when you start going out with that and you start doing your training shit and you're not comfortable hitting pads or you're getting tapped a lot, it's like, go away and come back to basics. You know, you're thinking too much.
Yeah.
And that's how you're beating yourself up about it. It's like, just chill, man.
Yeah.
But so back to your question. Yeah, I train a lot offshore. I was working hard 12 hours a day out there, grafting like so. Try to diet offshore, like 12 hours. Have you seen the food offshore, man?
No.
Holy shit. It's all like pies and chips and beans and... Luckily enough, the rig I'm on was good food. The chef was sound. He'd make me like chicken breasts, or he'd have like white fish or tins of tuna and a decent salad bar. But You don't know how hard it is after 12-hour shift, having to go in there, look at all the nice food, because it's cold offshore, you just want fed.
Mm-hmm.
I would go and I would put a plate behind the counter. I would go to my room straight away, get changed in my gym suit, a fucking like two hoodies and a hat, and I'd go and do a 5K or a hit bag. And then I would go and shower, then go and eat at 8 o'clock at night by myself, and go to bed and do that every day for like 3 weeks. It's not even so much physically draining, it's more mentally draining.
Yeah.
Just like, I want pie chips and beans.
I can imagine, yeah. Fuck, I don't even manage
it's so hard. Like,
yeah.
Dieting's the hardest part. Definitely, I fucking hate dieting now.
Yeah.
I blew it last night as well. Like, I've been good all week, I was saying that, but I woke up and I nailed a fucking king-size pack of digestive. Like, didn't even touch a side. And this morning I felt guilty as hell. I'm fucking so guilty today. I haven't ate today since because I'm that guilty.
I heard a similar story from my own team long ago.
But
just the same thing.
Every day, like, we're coming and going, we're fucked up again. Let's go for a run. back and forth.
How's your weight cut at the end of it all?
Weight cut's savage. Like,
yeah.
And it gets more savage the more you go on. Why? Because the more you go on, you know you can cut it.
Yeah. I'll sauna that off.
But when you get down to that last 2 days, it's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. I've done a bad one, the last one. And I don't want to do that ever again. Like I said to my corner at one from the video, I'm never doing that again. Fucking hated it. 2 days later, except another fight, same weight again. I'm like, all right, here we go again.
Where did you cut from last? How heavy were you?
Oh, I died down to about 70 normally from about 80, and then I'll cut four kilo. But that time I cut like 6.5 kilo. 6.3 kilos, and I drank a bottle of water in between that and ate a protein bar at night. Like the day before my weigh-in.
Yeah.
I fucking woke up, I was that hungry, I ate a protein bar, so I probably had to cut that in water weight as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, probably about 7 kilos in water.
Is that hard mentally, like cutting the weight?
So, yeah,
just
physically more
than
mentally. Just because you've got a bottle of water there and it's like, I could just so die and just nail it. I would fight heavier, but as I say, I can make 70 kilos dieting.
Yeah.
Why would I not take the advantage of the cut? Everybody's cutting.
Yeah.
You might as well. Otherwise, I'd be too small that way, or I'd be a decent size that way.
What do you think of folks saying now? There's a lot of talk in MMA about them like trying to phase cutting out and just
You're never going to do it. You're never ever going to. I think they do it in wrestling. I think they weigh in like half an hour or something stupid before, and they still cut before they even wrestle.
Yeah.
It's all to do with that, but I think boxing's got a thing going on just now where you've got to weigh in like 3 weeks before. Have you heard of that? What?
I think they're doing like hydration tests and stuff like that.
It's a load of bullshit because guys are just going to cut for that fucking.
Either way.
I would cut if they told me, yeah, you've got to be like 70 kilos 2 weeks out. I'd be like, I need to cut from like 76 kilos to make that.
Yeah.
And then cut again. You'd be doing it twice, I think. So you're never gonna stop doing it.
Yeah.
No.
It just seems to be part of the fight game, and then obviously like every time somebody gets, it was the Max Holloway recently, I think was the big one in MMA where he took they thought he had like a mini stroke from weight.
Oh yeah.
Like every time
scary
it
shit.
Is just it comes up every time, but then always just gets like a lot of things in the fight game just
definitely.
Gets waved off.
My mum hated it the last time. She knew that I had a lot of weight because normally my cheekbones are like sticking out, and my face is drawn a couple of days before. But I still had weight. I still had shoulders. I still had big legs, and I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And I didn't check scales because I knew I was bad, but I couldn't do nothing to get it down any more than what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I checked, I think, 2 days before and on Thursday, and I think I was about 6.5 kilos over. And that was a bad one. That was my worst one to date. Like,
yeah. Planning to cut more in advance this time.
No, that's it. Like,
yeah. but the digestives are always there.
Well, that's it. I had to fucking, I tricked my bird into saying this morning, she's good on me, she'll keep on top of me, like, we went out yesterday and bought all the healthy snacks.
Yeah.
You know, like sugar-free jellies and like Greek fat yogurts, you know, stuff to snack on in between your meal. Otherwise, the digestives get it. and I actually tricked her this morning, she's gullible as fuck, like, so I was lying in my bed, and she's like, Paul! I'm like, what? She said, you had that pack of digestive. I says, no, I didn't. It was a twin pack, right? And I said, no, I didn't. I says, I opened it up to get a biscuit, but there was only one pack in it. She was like, oh. I'm like, you fucking horrible cunt. Yeah. And then she seen the pack in the bucket and all the crumbs down for when I was playing the computer at night. And she was like, you liar, you better get to the gym. So it's always good having somebody like that.
Yeah, support her.
Yeah. But my sweetie drawer in my house is dangerous, man. Two kids, and you'd open that, and most guys would be like, how did you die with that?
Yeah.
At your hands, and it's just willpower. It's like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. That's another 3 hours in the sauna. So try to stay away from it.
Yeah. It's tough as well, because it's like a primal thing, is it? Like, you crave salt, sugar, and fat. So if you've just trained, or you're tired or whatever, and you come in and you see it there,
well,
it's hard.
I think the point, I done two sessions yesterday, and two solid sessions. I've done sparring in the morning, I've done clinching, and then I went for a run. And then I was back in at night, and I done 6 5s or sparring.
Yeah.
So then I had my tea, and then it obviously wasn't enough, because that's when I wake up in the middle of the night. Sometimes, man, I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll go downstairs like a zombie, and I'll hit the Coco Pops. Like, I never eat Coco Pops, I don't even hardly like Coco Pops, but it's a craving.
Yeah.
It's like a pregnant woman thing, it's like, they need this, it's like, this is what I need.
Aye, what were Coco Pops?
The Coco Pops. Owen calls me the Coco Pops assassin. I'll do like 3 4 bowls. Sometimes I won't even know that I've had them. Like the other day, I took her home a Marabou chocolate bar from offshore, and I'm like, eat it. Don't fucking leave that. It's like my favourite.
Yeah.
Do not leave that shit lying about. She ate half of it, left half on the worktop. Now I went to bed thinking about it. I woke up and I'm like, where is it? So it's all willpower, man. You just need to fight it. So hard.
I get like that when I'm not even cutting weight, or just when I'm
it's worse
my life.
Like, as I said, even when I'm not dying, I'll never eat a bowl of Coco Pops, but as soon as I'm dying, I'm dying for a bowl. What?
Yeah.
It's sugar.
Just that Coco Poppy rush. Maybe the sugar tax will do you good. Help you remember.
Nah, never, because I don't diet as much as I diet. I diet less than I diet, so
yeah.
I eat shit all year round. Like, not an athlete, man. Put part in. I fucking eat shit all year round. I only eat clean and pretend I'm an athlete. I'm not fucking. I just enjoy doing what I do. I always just think, I don't. And this, who was speaking earlier? I was telling him, I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
It's like, I think what makes me scared as a fighter, it's not because I'm the most technical or I don't need to do this. I've got a fucking good job, a good paying job. What makes me dangerous is, like, I enjoy beating people up. That's not right, like, I enjoy punching people in the head. I don't need to do it. Where you get guys that are like, their sob stories, I need to do this, this is my life depends on it. My life doesn't depend on it. I could walk out the gym and still make a lot of money doing what I'm doing. And I still do it. It's like, as I say, that's what I think pushes me forward. It's like, I enjoy doing it. I've not lost the where a lot of people get, yes, I have to make it. I have to make it to the UFC. I don't have to make it. Why do I have to make it? I've got a good job. I've got a good family at home. It's like, nothing needs to change. I'm getting that fucking good at it. I need to go here and get the better fights. And once I go through these next guys, I'll be chopping on that door. I'll be like, give me my contract. I'm not in the UFC.
Well, it's pretty much, it's like widely regarded that if you get a title at
Oh, I think the last five people just went straight. And I think the featherweight as well. I don't know, like, guys have won all different belts, but they've never been called up. Like, the featherweight belt, straight away, they've all been straight to the UFC.
Yeah.
I think they said four of the last five people straight.
I think I read that today, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the only person was never went was Paddy. And that was it. And that was by choice. I think he got offered a contract and never went. So that's four of the five people straight away. So
I don't think I need to ask, but I'm guessing that if you do go through this tournament and you come out with your belt and you get offered that UFC contract, that's definitely where the
dream lies. Like, yeah, of course. Like, if that's where the harder fights are, then that's where I'm going. I'm definitely 100%. I don't think I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to be there, just a matter of time.
So it's Aidan Lee's the first one to...
Yeah, Aidan Lee's, I'd say, my toughest fight. Like, he's just awkward in fucking every different way. How awkward could it be? You're fighting a lanky southpaw leg locker. I'm like, you pick one of them is awkward enough. Never mind all three. It doesn't get any worse than that. But hey, I like to challenge myself and challenge myself, and end of the day, he's not fighting no mug. Half the shit that he's got on all of these guys, they're not me.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna get that shit as easy as these guys.
Well, that's what I think. He's obviously lost fights. That's always gonna be in your mind. Like, he's been beaten, whereas you've never lost. Like,
oh no, I do. That doesn't matter to me one bit. No, you could tell me my records. I've been beat twice, and I'll be like, all right, okay. I'm just good. That mentally wise, it wouldn't change me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Winning, losing, the competition's there. The harder fights, I like to challenge myself. Not even so much, as I said before, like physically or mentally. I could do this.
Yeah.
I know I could do this, so I'm going to fucking do it. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. I need to ask you about another person on the card that night. When I interviewed him, I asked him about you.
Ross.
Big Ross, yeah.
Big Ross is sad.
He seems to love you guys being on the same card and fighting and whatever goes on afterwards as well.
He loves a tear up, like.
Yeah.
Keep him under my wing, like, you'll have a good night. Like, anybody will have a good night under my wing, like.
Are you looking forward to watching that fight after you fought yourself on the same card?
It's always a good night. Ross is such a nice guy, solid fighter, and I can see him winning that belt, like, hands down. I don't even know who the other boy is. Like, as I say, I've never even watched fights. I've never even watched my opponent yet. I've just heard. We'll have a solid night out after that.
I think that was my favorite.
The athlete goes out the window after that.
As soon as that's done,
and then I'll be straight in the camp again.
Yeah, that's what I ask. How long after is it?
Really? I think it's not long, like, so I don't even know if I could afford to have a tear up, like.
Surely once.
You could always afford to have a tear up, but I don't know, like, we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
We'll see how we get on, like, but I'm not going in there like one of these guys going, yeah, I'm gonna win this. I'm like, I'm gonna have a good fight here. Win or lose, it's about challenge. If you're not getting fights where you, if you're getting fights where you know you're gonna win, you shouldn't be fighting them.
Yeah.
It's just not the way. It's the competition, the challenge. Okay, so could I beat him? He'll probably say, yeah, I'm gonna win. But so is all the fucking others that's fought me before. Eh?
Yeah.
They all say they're gonna beat me. Nobody has. It's not a case of they're. They're probably better than me, but they don't have the same heart as me. They don't have the competition to keep pushing to get that win.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you feel you got that naturally, or have you ever, like, do you do anything to build that confidence or that heart? Or do
you got it or you don't. Yeah. 100%, man. Definitely. Yeah.
Right. I think that must be just about time to wrap up.
Oh,
like,
tidy.
Just before we go, a couple of quick questions. Just for anyone that's listening that might be interested in getting involved in MMA, what would you say to them?
Just do it. Do it. Don't pull the good old, I'll go to the gym and get fit card, because everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody does. I'm like, you coming to the gym, or every time you're out, You see people, you know, say, I'm going to come do that fucking, the UFC stuff. Like, dude, it's not UFC stuff. It's it's MMA. And, but I'm going to go to the gym and get fit first. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. All right, I'll see you next time I see you.
Yeah,
it's never going to be at the gym. It's a good old saying, is it? Just come and do it. If you're that unfit where you can't even do it, just stop and sit at the side. I have no shame and no scruples about going, yeah, go and take five or just fucking get up and do it. Like,
yeah.
If you say you're going to do something, fucking do it. It's like anything in life. If you're going to do it, do it. Don't, I'm going to go to the gym first and get fit. Get fucked. You're never going to do that. And it's bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah.
How much people do you hear? How much of your friends just says, I'm going to come along?
I've heard it a few times.
Exactly. And that's just you. So imagine me.
Yeah, I can have it.
The amount of people who's like, oh, I'm going to come do and start. And it's like, all right.
See you whenever.
And I think, don't tell me. Show me.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Just absolute last question. Have you got anything that MMA has given you, me mentally or just like within yourself, that you've taken away from MMA?
Definitely. I think it's changed me as a person. I think I used to fight a lot as a kid. It was a little shit. And ever since, like, I learned how to fight, I don't want to fight. I think like jiu-jitsu makes you a better person. It makes you a nicer guy. It teaches you, like, there's a little geeky kid in the corner with glasses on, and he's about 52 kilos, but he's gonna kick your ass. So you better learn, what's the word I'm looking for? Learn, like, respect, to respect people more. And this motherfucker, learn humble is the word that you're looking for. Like, we've got so much guys in the gym that you'd walk down the street and you would say, yeah, he's a geek, but that geek, kick your ass. I think Joe Rogan says it in like one of his podcasts or something, and it's so true. Hey Dan, it's so true. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So just get up and do it. And to answer your question, yeah, it's changed my life and my personality, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot more.
Just like mellowed out.
Mellowed out now, like so chill, so chill.
Cheers, Paul. Good luck for the rest of the fight camp and for the fight, of course.
I appreciate it. Right.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Big thanks to Paul for giving up his time to record it. Funny story, just before we started recording, and we recorded that at the gym at Aberdeen Combat Centre, so I also need to say a big thanks to them for giving us space and allowing us to use a room, and to Jamie Miller, who came in to take a PT client in the room we were recording in and was kind enough to use another space in the gym, which was brilliant of him. I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, before we started recording that podcast, Paul shouted through to me how long was it going to take, as he had a few things to do before he started training again, and I was like, oh, just about an hour. And Paul's reply was, fuck's sake, man, I thought it was just going to be 5 minutes, which I found hilarious. So we found a balance in the middle. I think we recorded for about 40 minutes there, but I think we got loads in. I hope you agree, and I hope you enjoyed it. And big thanks to Paul for giving up more time than he was expecting to, and for speaking pretty much about answering everything I had, every question I had for him really well, and being funny and charismatic throughout. And like I said in the first half, best of luck to Paul and to Ross Houston. I'm all over the place today. And Ross Houston, who both fight this weekend on Cage Warriors, which I'm not trying to promote, like, there's no pressure on me to do this, but I believe it's on BT Sport, just for if anyone wants to watch. I'm not a Cage Warriors, like, they're not paying me to punt them. I just, if anyone's listening to this and thinking they're quite fancy watching it to see how Paul gets on or how Ross gets on, that's where they're, where you can watch it, BT Sport 2, I think. Yeah, I don't know who my guest is going to be next week. There's a couple I've recorded that I might put out, some really good ones. I've also got another combat sports podcast, but I'll probably leave that a couple weeks before I put that out, just in case there's anyone out there who isn't quite ready for another combat sports one yet, if you like a little bit of variety. Anyway, just thanks to everyone for listening. It feels really good to be back doing these podcasts. Please throw in your suggestions who I could speak to, tag them. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all that. And go on iTunes. If you listen to podcasts on iTunes, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a 5-star review and a wee comment, wee review if you want, because apparently that helps a lot with podcasts. And let's go back for the third stint and let's do it properly, because the support in the past has been brilliant, and let's just keep it up and see if we can get this podcast doing even better. What a thing to say. Right, cheers, bye.